He's got it! He beats Dean, and he takes it the distance! And there it is! The 49ers are going to the Super Bowl!
Welcome back to another episode of the 49ers Hub Podcast. I'm joined with Nate, Dan, and we got a special guest, John Chapman. How you guys doing today?
I felt like it was, you mispronounced, you said 49ers Hub. I'm used to hearing 49ers Rush, and I was like, oh, that's what's up, man. So 49ers Hub, the OGs. I'm very happy to be here.
We're doing good, Zach. We're doing good. Happy to have John on board with us tonight, man. This is going to be exciting. It's going to be a fun conversation, so we're looking forward to it.
Absolutely, man. This is like a full circle, like celebrity moment for me here. I'm trying not to fan out over here. 49ers Rush podcast is a daily driver for me. I almost know exactly what episode he's on every day. So, you know, again, just happy to be here. Happy to be talking with some of the greatest in the game and, you know, ready to talk about these Niners, man. It's been a while, boys. I haven't seen you in so long.
Oh, yeah.
It has been a while. And John, again, I want to say thank you for joining us. And how do you feel about the drafts, or sorry, free agency so far?
Compared to last year, it's way more enticing. You look back at, you know, the last offseason and you just heard cheaper, younger. They didn't add one offensive or defensive starter the entire free agency period. You could count five depending on a couple, you know, different players. You had five starters this offseason compared to zero last year, and you've got some major star power kind of backing it. So I think the vibes are high. I think the coaching staff, front office, and players are kind of aligning that they are seeing this as a major push year. And that's got to be, you know, just wonderful to hear for 49ers fans.
Yeah, and it does feel a lot more. They kind of changed their strategy this year. You know, they've found one big time signing and then kind of bargain bin, you know, the rest of the players in here. And honestly, I don't mind the strategy. I mean, it saves you money. I mean, I am a little worried on their previous comments on saying, you know, you need to get younger, and they kind of get a few older players, but I'm curious if they really think it's like, hey, we can probably go all the way this year or something, because it kind of feels that way, don't you think?
I do, and I think kind of a lot of the mindset of teams is this a team that can compete for the division? Is this a team that can get in the playoffs and make something happen? And when Kyle Shanahan, who I would argue did his best coaching job of his career last year, brought that hobbled hospital team across the playoff line and won a playoff game against the defending Super Bowl champs and the Eagles, it's like, man, if we add a couple pieces here, you get to the dance, you see what can happen. I kind of let in there with winning the division first. The NFC West is maybe the best division in football of the past two decades, looking next year. And so, you know, you had three of the final four teams in the NFC alone. And those three teams have all gotten stronger, I would argue. And so win the division, get to the playoffs, yes. It's very difficult to look at a projection of the upcoming season and say something along the lines like, I got the 49ers missing the playoffs. I don't think anybody's going to predict that personally.
Yeah, I would agree, man. Like, again, the NFC West being the toughest division of football, and my biggest thing is just look at where they went with all the adversity that they went through last year. And everyone's biggest comments are, you know, we didn't go out and get, you know, we didn't sign the Alec Pierce who went back to Indianapolis. We didn't go make a trade for a wide receiver. We didn't make these huge moves. But the health is wealth for this 49ers team. And that's the biggest thing that we've been struggling with is the past year is just everybody staying healthy. And I think the pieces that we added, even with the age that comes with it, I mean, you're getting Mike Evans for $14 million a year. Mike Evans, what is it, 8, 9 consecutive 1,000 receiving yard seasons? We're talking about a future Hall of Famer that is now in Kyle Shanahan's back pocket. Huge body, big red zone target for Brock Purdy. I don't see how you don't get excited about this season, even with, again, the age of these players, and, you know, they wanted to get younger, cheaper. But, man, if you're getting players like Mike Evans for that cheap, I mean, there's not a team out there that wouldn't take that deal. So I'm super excited about this season and everything that's coming with it, man. I think they're making great moves right now. I think they're making strategic moves right now. And, again, like John said, it's just the way this front office is moving right now. I think this front office and this coaching staff feels like they can do some damage this year.
For sure. And to your point, Nate, I mean, you think about, you add Osa, you add Dre Greenlaw, you add Nate Hobbs to create some depth in the secondary, but you're adding Nick Bosa and Fred Warner for all intents and purposes because they weren't there last year. You know, so you're adding even more talent to a team that went 12-5 and won a playoff game. How can you not be excited about that? How can you not love what is happening in front of you as long as they stay healthy and they can maintain that? Mm-hmm.
Right, and honestly, this Mike Evans signing is so – honestly, Evans and Kirk are signings are very huge because they took cheaper deals to mm-hmm. come here. I mean, the whole substation and everything, that whole ordeal, I mean, it's still going on. But I believe it was Trey McBride that made the comments like, yeah, no one's going to go over there because of that. And mm-hmm. because, you know – it caused a little, you know, discourse on Twitter for a while. But, you know, players are still coming back. Mm-hmm. They are. And they want to be here. Is it here because of Kyle or because of Purdy? Mm-hmm. They love the culture here. And it is kind of nice to see these really, you know, big players from different teams want to come here on cheaper deals.
Especially whenever you have, like, the Tampa Bay Bucks who... Yeah, the owner and general manager say, like, we did everything we could to try to keep him. Like they offered more money. Like, he did not want to return. And he gave a criteria of four things. Why do people want to come here? He said he wanted to be part of this offensive scheme. Shanahan, he's a schemer. He wanted to be part of a top-tier quarterback, Brock Purdy, checkmark. And whenever he said, like, oh, I was down between the Buffalo Bills or the 49ers, and he chose Brock Purdy over Josh Allen. That tells you something. And then he said he wanted an elite head coach, Kyle Shanahan again, check mark, and he wanted to go to a team that needed a number one wide receiver and had targets available. That's 4 for 4. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the long-term plan of the 49ers wasn't to have that X wide receiver spot open. It was going to go to Brandon Ayuk. But he went MIA, and so now that's available. And so Mike Evans swoops in, takes less than he would have got several other places. And when Mike Evans signed with the 49ers that quick and they gave those financials, it was very clear and very evident. Mike Evans chose the 49ers, not the other way around. And Kyle Shanahan echoed that. The contract screams that. Mike Evans wanted to come here and took less money to do so. So I think that just speaks volumes of where this team is at currently.
And we did a free agency podcast before our little hiatus, and you know, none of us picked Mike Evans to come here because mm-hmm. we never thought it was possible. I thought for sure you either go back. I know the head coach, and they have been having problems with the head coach. It's a little comments and everything. It's not great over there, but it's I never thought in a million years Mike Evans would come here, and I don't think any of us did really. No. But now Kyle Shanahan has a player kind of like Andre Johnson. He has a player kind of like Julio Jones, that ex receiver that has been missing in this offense for so long. And he's a tall dude. He will cast the 50-50 balls, and he's a deep threat.
Still,
this will be fun.
Yeah, man. Like, again, like, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is we did that show, and we even talked to each other in the, you know, group chat when the signing was announced. And you know, that we never even saw Mike Evans being an option just because, again, you know, they went from the younger, the cheaper. And so, you know, two out of two of those things you figured would be way out. You know, Mike Evans being, you know, in his 30s, and you expect him to be commanding at least north of $20 million a year. Even at this point in his career, you know, it just didn't seem plausible. And then the news comes out, and we left him off the board for those two reasons. And now that changes the entirety of this 49ers wide receiver room is not even just the skill set that he brings, but we still have young receivers that are going to be learning behind a future Hall of Fame receiver such as Mike Evans. Like, that's crazy to have, you know, Jacob Cowing in the wing learning from Mike Evans right now. Ricky Pearsall learning from Mike Evans. I mean, this is going to do dividends, not just for when he's playing on the field, but after he's done with football. This is going to teach these guys on this team so much, just having them in the room. I mean, I can't be more excited about it, man. I'm a huge Mike Evans fan, just as a player alone. And then the fact that he left, you know, Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, you know, even after the kind of season they had. I mean, obviously you see their younger receivers, you know, coming up a little bit, and Mike was hurt last year, and so that probably played a little bit of, hey, the Bucks might be all right without me, and they're looking like they're finding their footing without me. And like John said, he was looking for somewhere he can go get wide receiver one targets, man. Hello, here we are. And so I'm excited, man. I could talk about it for days of, you know, Mike Evans jerseys are going to be hanging up in the room before long. I'm waiting for that number to drop so we know which one I'm going to get, but it's exciting, man. And I can't be more excited to be saying that Mike Evans plays football for my football team.
100%, man. And you think about, you know, the 49ers and the culture that they have and how well that culture is respected across the league. And then you add a Mike Evans to that, you add a guy that can help grow those young players and just contribute to that culture. But that's exciting just in and of itself. And then you bring in Christian Kirk as well, who's really, I mean, you look at what, a fourth or fifth option in this offense behind Evans, Kittle, McCaffrey, you know, Pearsall. There's just so many different options that they can do. And then it makes you excited because you think back to Kyle Shanahan when he was the OC in Atlanta and he had Julio Jones, who's that big physical receiver. Now, Evans is a little bit past that point of his career, but still, you get that guy in the open field catching the ball with Shanahan can scheme him up. And man, that's exciting just to think about. You know, it's going to be just a lot of fun to watch. It's going to open up a lot of things for that offense. And then you look across at Seattle, who lost their biggest, most physical defensive back to Philadelphia. Who's gonna be the guy that's gonna kind of match up with him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Seattle's lost a lot of players this year in free agency. You know, lost Kenneth Walker, Willen, some other players as well.
They had to. JSN got that bag, man.
He did. Him and, well, that long snapper got the bag too. I mean, good for him.
Amen. And then what's his name is up next. They've got
they signed Charles Cross to extension earlier too.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean they're signing their players, and yep. I mean I don't fault them for that. JSN is one of the best receivers in the league,
absolutely,
right now. So, and he was basically their entire offense. That's he's the main reason they got to the dance in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame him for that. But I mean, the Rams do kind of worry me a little bit because they got the Chiefs for corners. I'm so tired of the Chiefs, man, and I had to play them again. Like I watch the Chiefs corners twice a year. Like I get sick of it. Plus, McDuffie is one of the main reasons, you know, Niners lost the Super Bowl too, mm-hmm, on that blitz play on third down. I won't go on a hate rant or anything, but it's just. This frustrates me. The Rams did get better, I think.
If it makes you feel any better, Ayuk did cook McDuffie on that goal line. If, you know, we would have picked up a block, he cooked him. But you know,
doesn't make me feel better.
It doesn't make me feel better either, Zach. It's the worst place to live, you know, especially for stuff like that.
Absolutely.
The best is when you live in Los Angeles, like I did for 7 years, because I never encountered one Rams fan in the wild. Like, it just never happened. I was just like, what is this? Like, they just do not exist in that city. They're non-existent. They just do not exist.
Do you see more Chargers fans than Rams fans there?
No, I don't think that they exist either. Maybe down in San Diego, but like, you get like, you know, the colleges, USC, UCLA, a lot of Dodgers. But like, that's pretty much it, man. Like you get more Angels fans than you do, you know, NFL fans combined. You get more Raiders fans, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, Rams fans, endangered species. I don't know what happened. They are fleeing. I don't think they exist. They're not real people.
I don't even think they exist in St. Louis anymore, to be honest with you. Last time I was on nothing. They're all Battlehawks fans up there.
They're chasing us now.
It's true. Yeah. What a switch.
I mean, do you blame them though? No, honestly, I don't.
Absolutely not.
I mean, the city sued the Rams, the owner, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yep,
they sure and won and made like a ridiculous amount of money, mm-hmm. which is good for them. But yeah, Kroenke, Stan Kroenke, like not a cool dude. And yeah, anyway.
And going back to the free agency and everything, Christian Kirk, man, he hasn't been healthy very much lately, but he had a 144-yard game and a touchdown against the Steelers in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still showing he has some gas left in the tank. So, and he's kind of a speedster. He reminds me of, I feel like he's trying to be the player that, you know, I don't know, either Taylor Gabriel or the other receiver that Shanahan had in the Falcons offense. That's what I'm seeing the signing as, you know, supposed to be, in my opinion.
That I think you're, is it Aldrick Robinson? Is that who you're thinking about?
Robinson, yep.
Yeah, I mean, Shanahan's always had that kind of slot, versatile, you know, whatever. And that's the role that Christian Kirk's going to be playing for the 49ers. He's going to be in that slot role, which is exactly what he did for Houston. It wasn't as, you know, active, and Houston was up and down offensively all year, whatever else. But it just provides some veteran depth, which the 49ers have not had. And so, like, that is absolutely key. You have that small, kind of shifty. He's not that small. He's like 5'10", 200. But, like, going from Juwan Jennings, who was supposed to be your big slot player, like, you didn't have that in your roster. And so now you got DeMarcus Robinson can kind of play that big slot role. But it's going to be Christian Kirk as the starter. DeMarcus Robinson backs up all three of the wide receiver positions. And maybe one of the young bucks, Jacob Cowan or Jordan Watkins, can kind of excel. That's kind of the plan for this year. Now, if they draft somebody high, that kind of shakes it up a little bit, because you have no long-term answers in the wide receiver room. The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. This free agency cycle, Zag, you asked me how I felt about it. It's great for now. Not a lot of long-term signings. Osa is probably the exception, but the rest are just kind of patchwork 1 or 2 year deals to kind of help immediately. There's not a lot of long-term plays that they brought in. Dre Greenlaw, 1 year deal. Mike Evans, the finances, you know, came out and it's basically a 1 to 2 year deal tops. Kirk, 1 year deal. I mean, just a bunch of 1 year deals. So there's still room on this roster to improve, especially long-term. But, man, it's easy to enjoy it now. What the long-term answers are yet to be seen.
And I agree. Absolutely. I mean, that does worry me the most. But in my opinion, how I see how this draft is going to be is they're going to replace these players from one-year deals in the draft. Like, you got your receiver. You're going to get your linebacker. I mean, the signings of, like, you know, Lowe and Toth and the other Jones as well, I feel like they're, I think, like, those players are just, they can be lost in fantasy next year as well. They just need death in that spot. I mean, it's not really a big factor right now. Jones has the potential to be left guard, but I think they're going to try to find another guard in the draft, I would assume. I hope. So,
my one pushback, Zach, Brett Toth got paid twice the amount in 1 year with twice the guarantees than what they paid Ben Bartsch last season. Not saying much. They didn't pay Ben Bartsch really anything, but like, they were fine with him being the starter. They didn't draft anybody really. Connor Colby in the seventh, but like, not premium draft capital to compete. So I don't know, because the way we see the offensive line, especially at left guard spot, and the way Kyle Shanahan sees it, it's a little different. It reminds me of Predator whenever you smear like the mud all over your body and it can't see you. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what the left guard spot is to Kyle Shanahan, sadly.
That's funny.
And Toth can play both guard and center, too. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be – their strategy right now is very interesting to me, because I'm curious on why not so many long-term deals. But I kind of get it, because this free agency class was not that great to begin with. There's a lot of older players in this class. So, I mean, you got your kicker for the next 4 years, so I'm good with that. I feel like they're recycling punters at this point. So, but yeah, I mean, Gifford's a 2-year deal. If Faigami gone next year, Tonda's a 2-year deal. I mean, I expect him to stay for a little bit longer. Greenlaw's a 1-year deal. And Greenlaw's the only player I can probably see them extending another 1 or 2 years after this year if he stays healthy. Mm-hmm. But after that, it's just more of like, are they waiting to replace these players in the draft or try and find something better? So,
and plus, they still think about,
go ahead.
You think about the lack of draft picks. You know, I mean, you only have just a handful in those first four rounds. After that, you're waiting until the undrafted class comes in there to build out some of that depth piece. So it's going to be tough to replace all those guys. So, I mean, you got to have to look at that as well for the long term.
And, you know, going back to receivers, I mean, what's their, I'm trying to see what the strategy is. Are they going to draft a receiver early and, you know, replace Mike Evans and, like, have an X role? Because that could be, like, Denzel Boston, you know, from Washington. Or are they going to look for another speedy guy who can take the edge, pick the safeties off? That could be Casey Conception or Amari Cooper. I mean, there's so many avenues they can go here. And where does Pearsall fit into this? I mean, there's been, I wouldn't say rumors, but there is potential that he could be traded because he has been healthy. I mean, I'd love to have him stay here, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
And I think they have to have a future with Pearsall.
Yep.
Like, because you're not going to get the value. One, you overdrafted him. But he's a perfect pairing with Brock Purdy. A lot of teams have fixed their wide receiver room so far through free agency. So, like, there is not another Z on this roster that the 49ers currently have that you have any confidence in whatsoever outside of Pearsall. Pearsall, like, he fits the scheme. He fits Brock Purdy's strengths. He's a good player. Just the health has been the issue, right? So, like, if you traded Pearsall, what are you going to get? A third round? All right, like, now you go to the draft, and it's like, man, like, what are you going to get in the third round? Yeah, there's some talent. There's a deep wide receiver class. But I think that the 49ers, I do not buy into they're going to trade Pearsall. I just don't think it makes sense for the team. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay healthy. But, you know, Zach, the three wide receivers you mentioned in the draft, 49ers have already had official 30 visits with. Boston, Concepcion, and Omar Cooper Jr. With a couple others. So, like, the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan can't help himself. He spent the second most draft capital on wide receivers since he's arrived in the NFL. Do not expect that to stop, especially with this wide receiver room.
Yeah, and I mean, I tweeted as soon as we got the Mike Evans news is, you know, this almost puts it at a lock that the 49ers are still going to draft a receiver at 27. Because, again, just for the reason that I, you know, stated before is – why wouldn't you want a young guy to come in and learn from Mike Evans, you know, especially if he's going to be the successor to his position, which would be a guy like Boston. Why would you not want to learn from a future Hall of Famer and have a rookie be under wing of, you know, greatness such as Mike Evans? I mean, writing is on the wall again. Like John said, I mean, they have so many top 30 visits with wide receivers. I believe more wide receivers than any other position in the draft. And again, Kyle Shanahan just can't help himself. You know, he's going to grab himself another running back at some point in the draft as well. Where Raheem Morris fits into this, obviously they gave Robert Saleh, you know, as much leeway as he wanted last year in the draft, and they went defensive heavy. I think this year, you know, we see a lot of offense coming out of the draft. And again, like you said, hopefully we get some offensive line help as well. But again, I just think writing's on the wall, you know, wide receiver at 27. If not some point in the first round, maybe they move up if they have any capital to do so. But I think that's exactly where they're going, is they're going to put another body in that wide receiver room.
My question would be this: with the third round pick that we gave up to Dallas for Osa, that pretty much eliminates Kyle Shanahan's third round running back every year, right?
And kicker.
So now we have to look at the fourth round, right? But with the rumors today, there's some stuff swirling around with Najee Harris potentially being a target. How do we feel about that?
Saw that.
Now,
that was weird because, you know, you had the primetime, like, you know, NFL Network, ESPN guys, they all put out like this thing, like the list of teams that he's scheduled to meet with. And it seemed like it was like carbon copy from their agent. 49ers were mentioned on there. Mm-hmm. And so like a lot of the rumors for Najee, I'm not saying it's true or not true.
Right.
A lot of the, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe I missed it, were kind of like how do I say this? The ones that kind of just go for clicks and then it catches on a little bit. I don't personally think that that makes a lot of sense, the Najee Harris. Like, I don't see it. I don't see it personally. I like Najee Harris. If they brought him in, awesome. I think they really like Jordan James.
Yeah.
I think that they will add somebody in the fourth round. It will not be in the third round, Dan, unless they trade up like they did for Trey Sermon or like they did for Joe Williams. Both those worked out so amazingly well. As long as they're not trading up for a kicker, I'd probably be okay. But I don't buy into the Najee Harris rumors, but that's just me. And I'm a crazy, like, I'm one of those guys that dismisses things too often, but.
I agree. And, you know, I saw the aggregators on there, you know, and you see that and you start thinking, does that make sense? And it doesn't, you know, I mean, no different than Brian Robinson last year. Yeah, he came in and he had some great spots, but does it really make sense when, you know, McCaffrey's not coming off the field unless he just, you know, can't go.
Yeah. And so that led me to a question earlier, especially after I saw the Brian Robinson news and for how cheap he signed. With Atlanta, you know, the new B-Rob show over there, which is kind of wild to think about. But what was it about Brian Robinson that this team didn't like? Because, again, in his small production, I thought, you know, he fit relatively well with this offense. And so I'm just kind of wondering where the discourse of what they're looking for versus what Brian Robinson Jr. brought to the table was.
I don't think the issues with Brian Robinson Jr. I think the issue, and I make this joke on the show a lot, and so I apologize, but like Kyle Shanahan's going to throw Christian McCaffrey out there in a damn wheelchair if he has to, and still run him the ball and still check it. Like Kyle Shanahan loves CMC, and rightfully so, but like Shanahan, like you'll ask about like injuries and usage and like wear and tear, and he's just like, I don't think giving him the ball more makes a chance for injury. Like, and so if Christian McCaffrey's healthy, he is the one that determines how often he is on the sideline. You'll see him. He holds the finger up one play, and he will force himself back. Like, it's not even a coaching move anymore. Christian McCaffrey has just been given full autonomy on how many snaps he gets or does not get. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it was a Brian. And they traded for him.
Right.
Right? Like, you gave up a rookie contract on freaking Jordan Mason, who fit perfectly for a one-year rental on a guy you refused to use. And it, not that it was a bad trade, because basically Jordan Mason turned into Marquise Siegel and a one-year rental of Brian Robinson. Not terrible. Mm-hmm. Not terrible if Marquise Siegel could contribute some. But, like, I think that they really liked Brian Robinson. But Christian McCaffrey is Christian McCaffrey, and getting him off the field, I think that's more of the issue than Brian Robinson. And they even tried to get Brian Robinson carries in the return game, which he did it rather well. Yeah. It was a great blocker, by the way.
And yeah, I mean, the only running back I can see them actually drafting in this class is probably Calborn. from Wake Forest.
Why do you say that? I'm curious.
I'm saying that is because they mentioned they need more speed. Cal Warren runs a 4.3740. So I mean, it's not just straight speed either. He is pretty good. He's a reliable pass catcher as well, I think. I mean, I don't watch too much about him. I'm still learning a little bit more about him, but it's just, in my mind, this running back class is not very good either. I don't mind Nick Singleton from Penn State either. I think he's fine. He's a good pass blocker, but around that, I'd rather have a speedy guy. They do miss Mostert. I've been saying that for a while. They do miss Mostert's speed. They probably miss Matt Breida's speed, to be honest with you. So you get like someone like Calborn, you get like 4.3 guy who could, you know, have the home run potential. I mean, I'm looking at that. It's just, I mentioned trading for Achan. They already said no. I would still be calling them. I don't care. Because, I mean, having somebody like that and Chan's offense again, especially back in 2019, that was a fast team. That was a really fast team. You had Debo in there. You had, Mostert, you know, 4-touchdown game. They couldn't get him out. They couldn't get him. Especially on the outside. They just could not catch up. So if you get the speed again, that's what I'm looking at for running backs. It's the only player that makes sense to me.
And, like, it makes perfect sense for them to go for speed because, again, we've seen and we saw, you know, against that Seattle Seahawks defense is that team is young and that team is fast. And that's just where the 49ers offense has been lacking is they need somebody to either take the top off the defense or they need somebody that can burst through the line with that speed and compete with these guys because, you know, it's just – that's what we've been lacking is speed. And the speed guys we have had were not reliable in the run game or the passing game. You know, we had Sky Moore, who is fast, but couldn't catch a cold. Amazing returner though, you know, wish we could have got him back on that deal that he got. But, you know, like you said, that's just one thing they've been lacking in a division where speed is going to be the killer this year. And I hope you're right. I hope they do go for a speed guy. I believe Jordan James ran like a 4.5 40, if I'm not mistaken, when he came out of college. So, you know, we just don't have a ton of speedsters on this offense. It doesn't look like we're going to have a ton of speedsters unless it comes from that running back position this year.
4.55, Nate.
4.55.
4.55 official.
Gotcha. I was close.
Not fast.
I feel like I could run a
did average 7 yards per carry in that Seattle game, that blowout playoff game.
It's
that
true.
I don't remember.
It's true.
But
I don't know what you're talking about, John.
Me some Jordan James. Yeah, I know. I'm just making stuff up over here. Dan coming for me, rightfully so.
Don't know what you're talking about. Don't remember that one. Just blocked from the memory. But no. But here's the question, though. I mean, yes, speed is important. But have you ever really seen that outside of Mostert and outside of Breida? In this offense, right? I mean, you tried it with Danny Gray, you've tried it with Jacob Cowing, and it's just never really translated. It's more of the scheme, right? And the way that Shanahan's dialing things up, that he's creating these guys open and getting the ball in the open field with, you know, where they're one-on-one with, whether it was Debo or whether it was Brandon Ayuk. I mean, those guys were never the fastest guys, but it's what they did once they got the ball in their hand, right? And so how important is that speed metric, especially at the running back position, when you can move McCaffrey around so much, can you find a guy that can mimic what he does that way on offense? And is there a guy out there that's available like that?
Mm-hmm. Not a lot. Right. Tamon Claiborne, you know, who Zach brought up, like, you know, my comp for him is a smaller framed Alvin Kamara, like very, very good in the receiving game. Very, very quick, good hands, kind of does a little bit of everything. And he's really, really fast. Like, he's elite fast. But then you look at his 10-yard split, and it's, like, not good. It's actually really, really bad. He just has that elite fifth gear that he gets to, Claiborne. So, like, and he's going right around the fourth round. So, fourth, fifth round, that's Niners have 4 picks right there. Definitely they're taking a run. Like, okay, let's go. 1 through 4. Does anybody in this room, digitally, think that Kyle Shanahan's not going to draft a running back in the draft?
Oh, he absolutely like, will.
He's taking one.
I'll put the house on it right
he's
now.
He's taking a
John.
Wide receiver and a running back, no matter what.
Right.
Definitely.
It's going to happen.
Definitely.
I could change my middle name to running back, and I might get drafted. I'd be like the meme pointing at himself. You know what I mean?
Could
like,
be a punter.
It's
too.
Happening. Yeah, don't do that. Now I'm going to put Dan on you there, Zach. Be careful.
We got waiting, and now we're good. We got
one-year deal. He needs a backup.
Oh, man, don't tell me that. I was actually pretty excited to see that. I was a little shocked at first, but I'm also really glad because I think the punter position definitely could have been a little better last year. So don't know much about the guy, but there's no way there's a downgrade. So, I mean, I was pretty
He's
stoked.
A lefty. He's a lefty, so that helps.
Really?
I like that, actually. Yeah. I always like that because it's a little trickier. The spin's different. And, you know, I consider myself to be somewhat of a film guy. But the one thing I'm not going to do, Nate, is break down punter tape. free agent punter tape, one-year deal minimum. Probably not doing that.
Dang, I was going to be refreshing the 49ers rush page to see if I can get some tape on this guy. So I guess I'll have to find it somewhere else.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah,
but you do long snapping tape then, right?
My first coach, I was a long snapper. I coached long snappers. I could probably do a better job there than punter tape.
but it's a little bit of a scheme thing too, right? Because didn't the 49ers a couple of years ago bring in some lefty punters when they were going up against lefty punters for tryouts just to kind of get a feel for what that ball was going to look like coming off their foot?
They brought in a guy for Wisnowski, I believe, when he was hurt. And I believe he was also lefty as well. And he was – that was preseason. I'm sorry. That was preseason. I thought he would win the role, to be honest with you, because I thought he was phenomenal. And then they didn't sign him. I was like, dude, are you serious over this guy? Come on now. So
crazy.
But, I mean, looking at the draft right now, I mean, I personally would trade down from 27. I feel like there's enough players you can get in the second round or as good as the late first round, in my opinion. Even all my mock drafts I've been trading down because I don't feel comfortable sitting at 27. I feel like you can get more players, especially with the lack of picks the Niners have this year and the amount of holes they have. I feel like you should trade down.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announce of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which it's going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me. 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event.
I feel like trade down could go to DB, at least safety. I really think they need another safety. Unless they really are set on Sigil and Brown and Mustafa.
Don't say it out loud.
There was an article yesterday. I believe it was Barrows. I think Matt Barrows said that I think that the Niners feel like the Sages could be better because of the lack of pass rush. And I do agree to that to an extent. I really do.
Can't be like, worse.
Yeah, it could be. And I do like. I feel like Sejo should have got the amount of reps Stout did, because I feel like Sejo could have got better with the amount of reps each game. There was that one game he was phenomenal in. Next game he was terrible. But he's a rookie. He needs to be out there. And you know, you live or die with it. I mean, I will say this to, you know, I'll keep screaming this. I do think he should have got the amount of reps Stout did, because Stout had ups and downs as well.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't perfect. He had lots of bad low moments too, but he also got a lot better towards the end of the season. Yep. So maybe Cecil could have that, you know, leap this year for the starting free safety, because mm-hmm. he is fast. His tackling angles are terrible. That's yep. his problem right now. So if he can figure that out, I feel like he could get the job.
I'd agree with you, man. Like, it's kind of just like what you said, you know, if he had the opportunity to take those bumps and bruises early, kind of like Upton did, you know, who knows where he would have been at the end of the season. I mean, he played an amazing game there towards the end of the year, and, you know, everyone was calling, like, where has this been? You know, what has Robert Saleh been doing with him, just stuffing him away? Even on the, you know, the touchdowns that he gave up, he's in the vicinity at least, you know, like, he's there. I mean, he's given up contested catches and amazing catches to these wide receivers. And, I mean, what more could you want from the guy unless, you know, you ask him to be the receiver himself? I mean, he was there trailing these guys. He's got speed. He's, you know, just like you said, he's got bad tackling angles. But, man, when he does take the angle, he'll run through you, dude. Like, Siegel
yeah.
is tough. He's alert. And he's there, and I just think the only thing he lacked was the experience, and they just didn't give it to him. So I firmly believe that Siegel will win out the job. I think a backfield with Mustafa and Siegel isn't bad. Do I hope they go for a safety in the draft? It wouldn't hurt to have another guy out there, you know. Go get my boy Taff out of Texas. But, hey, that's just me. You know, I don't know.
I will say this. I do think safety is a position they do not value mm-hmm. very much. The most draft capital they've ever spent is a third-round pick on Jair Brown. And so, like, man, this is a great safety class. You know, you got Thienemann out of Oregon or McNeil Warren out of Toledo. Like, those guys might – one of those guys might be there at 27. I think Thienemann's gone, and that would be amazing. Like, I would absolutely love that. I don't even know if the 49ers value – like, I don't even know if Caleb Downs was there at 27 if the 49ers would take him. Like, I just don't think they believe in the position value of the safety position. It's the most devalued position in the NFL holistically across the league. But then you look at – you go back to, okay, Gibson, right? They picked up Gibson in the preseason on a vet minimum deal, and he started every single game, and they were fine with it. Like, this is just kind of what they do. They just don't care about that spot. It's just like left guard. They just don't care. Just like center recently. It's just not a – it's not what they value. And so I'm almost to the point now, and yeah, I know it's a hypothetical, but it's just like, dude, if Caleb Downs fell that far, I don't think that they would draft him. I think that they would take a wide receiver. They would take an edge rusher. Over the, and I think it would probably be one of those two positions. I'm convinced. I laid down a pretty big bet this week that they would draft an edge rusher in round one, and I hedged that bet with the wide receiver to cover it if I miss it. But those are the only two positions I'm betting on.
And yeah, the only reason why I mentioned safety is because of Raheem Morris's scheme and how he utilizes defense. And safety is pretty big factor into his defense. So that's why I've been kind of on the fence of DB safety, especially like early rounds. But I mean, who's to say that they would actually address safety till later on? Only player I can see later on is Michael Taffy from Texas, though.
Yeah, baby.
He's projected like what, third, fourth round, so that could be a guy they could be looking at.
So, well, let me ask you this: you talk about Jair Brown, and his best year was under Steve Wilks, who was very clearly a secondary coach and very clearly a guy that was hyper-focused on the back end of the defense. with Raheem Morris coming in and the way his defenses have played in Atlanta and LA and Tampa, do you think maybe there's an opportunity there for Brown to show some improvement kind of going back to that coaching, or is he just kind of who he is at this point?
He showed flashes, I thought, especially last year. I mean, he had some good moments.
He did have some good moments.
It's just a bad we remember the most.
It's a lot of bad. And so he comes out a rookie, his best year by far with the true DB coach. Then you go to whatever that DC that they put out there. Every single player on the defense got worse. Last year you bring back Robert Saleh, and, you know, a lot of players got better, simplified everything. But, like, I'll go to this. You know, we talk Marquis Siegel, Zach, and how, like, you wish he got more reps. He gets benched, and Shanahan throws him straight under the bus. But you don't see him do that to a lot of players. Like, oh, he's single high and he got beat deep. Can't do that. We had to look in another way. So then you put in number 27, Jair Brown. He continues to do the exact same thing for two deep touchdowns, back-to-back games. And the 49ers official Twitter account puts out a Pro Bowl vote thing for, like, it matters who the coach is. And I'm not saying the coaches were like, hey, put out a Pro Bowl vote thing for Jair Brown. But it's like, dude, like the same thing the coach threw him under the bus for, and it was a terrible play. It was a terrible play. Mark, like, Jair Brown did the exact same thing the next two games, four touchdowns, and, like, nothing. And so I don't know. Like, Jair Brown's probably a great locker room guy and seen as kind of a leader in there and whatever. I mean, he was the first player drafted that year, but I don't rationally understand, based on the tape of the season, why in the world 27 kept getting all those chances time and time and time and time again with all the mistakes. Consistency is a very big deal, especially on the back end. He is the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No, go ahead, Zach.
I was just going to say Brown's a veteran compared to Siegel, and that's why I'm trying to give Siegel a little bit more slack here.
Yeah,
because he's still learning. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's just it though. Like, you know, we just talked about it. I think if Siegel got the reps that they allowed Upton Stout to get, I mean, even Renardo Green got more reps than Marquis Siegel, and Renardo Green had his worst year last year. And so it's just kind of a little bit baffling, you know, just to watch young talent come in and they have one slip up. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan throws him in the doghouse and then rolls out a veteran who he feels comfortable with. And they continue to do the same thing, much like John said. I mean, he did it in back-to-back games. And those are imprinted in the back of my mind. And so, I don't know. I think maybe I just, you know, give it to the 49ers Rush podcast of how much I dislike number 27 at the moment. But it's just, it's the truth. I feel like we could upgrade in that position, you know, with Siegel coming in and playing alongside Malik Mustafa. And then maybe you bring in another guy. You know, again, it is a little disheartening, especially after hearing the facts of how high they've spent on a safety recently, that this, it just doesn't seem like they value that position a lot. But we're in a division with some dogs at wide receiver. You've got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, you've got Puka Nacua, you've got these guys, you know, now Michael Wilson in Arizona. You've got these guys that can take the top off a defense at any given moment, and you don't have the firepower or a ball hawk safety to go after them. So it's a little disheartening, but again, we can all just hope that they go for one of our mock drafts here and they take one early.
John, do you have any players that you're really interested in the draft this year?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, before we hit record, we were talking about my Longhorns doing really, really well in basketball, which is awesome. So I'm just going to, like, put that on the back burner for a second, because my favorite players are A&M and Sooners at you know, pick 27. And they really, really are. So Cassius Howell would be the guy that I think the biggest need, the biggest hole in the 49ers roster, the speed edge rush guy. And Cassius Howell, who I never thought had a chance to be there at 27, but then he came in at the combine with the measurements and had the literally smallest or shortest arms since 1999. Even like everybody talking about Reuben, you know, Bain Jr. and all that stuff, his arms are a full half inch shorter than Bain's arms. So I had Cassius Howell going around that 15 range probably in the combine. Now there's a chance. They're not saying he'll be there at 27, but now there's a chance. If I could kind of get the way that I would like it in the position, Cassius Howell would be perfect. Our Mason Thomas would probably be, you know, one of the backups to that. I prefer to trade back, kind of like what you were talking about, Zach. Malachi Lawrence, he's another speed edge rusher guy. Now, the wide receiver position, which I think is, I wouldn't say necessarily like have to draft that, but Omar Cooper Jr., if he lasts that far, I doubt he will. He's too clean. I love, I want to say this. I love Chris Broussel II. I think every single mock draft sees him as a second to third round pick. He has some very, very elite traits, and he's a little bit away. But he's a true X that runs 4.3 and he's 6.4. Like, he is a monster on those deep balls. And so, like, if you're going to draft a guy that is like Mike Evans, not near as tough, not built like Mike Evans, but he's faster than Mike Evans. He's as tall as Mike Evans. He jumps higher than Mike Evans. He has longer arms than Mike Evans. That is a guy that could learn and kind of go in there. But, I'm not the biggest KC Concepcion guy. I have him. I think he's my wide receiver 7 or 8. Denzel Boston, if he falls, which is a chance, because, again, did not run a 40 at the combine or pro day. Like, he is just saying, watch my tape. Had a great 3-cone, though, at his size, which is incredible, and that's kind of how he wins. So there's some wide receiver options. There's some edge options. I think it's going to be one of those two positions. I've been wrong many a times, asked my wife, but I think it's going to be wide receiver or edge if I had to vote or bet, which I did. So put your money where your mouth is, right?
I've definitely been on the whole receiver route, I think. I think that's where they go. I definitely do see your tweets about Cassius Howell. I do like his tape and everything. I thought he's a pretty good player. He really is. R. Mason Thomas, like you just mentioned earlier, definitely seems like a kind of player that Raheem Morris would probably go after. Bendy guy. He can get around the edge or the tackle pretty quickly. For receivers, I mean, I like the players you suggested. Omar Cooper Jr. was my first, suggestion. But, from how his stock has been rising, I don't think he's there at 27 anymore. I think it was a little bit earlier. Dizzle Boston, I've been kind of liking a little bit more lately. I do like how he attacks the ball. He has very strong hands, very strong hands. He attacks those 50-50 balls. He reminds me of Mike Evans. He really does. He attacks the 50-50 balls. He attacks the he's a very physical guy, and he can
he's
take
mean.
Off
he the, pancakes people. Like, he's a mean good. Dude.
And I believe
now, Chris Broussel is not mean. He is not mean. He's just big and fast. Denzel Boss is big and mean.
I believe Boston's a good run blocker as well, isn't he?
Yes. Incredible. Okay, so yeah, I have a 10 out of 10 run blocking for this draft class.
And a player I can see the Niners taking with one of the fourth-round picks, and I commented on yours because I mentioned it a few weeks ago, DeShon Stribling would be a great player for the Niners later on. If they want a double-down receiver, he's a guy, I think. He's very underrated. I think people are overlooking him right now, and I don't know why. I think he's a great player, watching him. 4.36 speed. He's fast, man.
Here's my thing, right? So you're in the fourth round. This is deep wide receiver class. And, Stribling, if you're just looking at consensus, is about pick 180 right now across all the major, mock draft sites, whatever you want to say. It's hard to find negatives with his tape. So, like, we measure, like, here's the categories. I measure 1 to 10, 10 being great, 1 being awful, right? And so, experience, he's a 10. He's played for 3 separate conferences and performed in all 3 major conferences. Versatility, 6. Speed, 9. Acceleration, 8. Production, 4. He's never really been the go-to guy consistently. That's why he's going to be going around, the fourth round. Blocking's a 10. This dude loves to block. Yards after catch, 9. He's got tight hips. He doesn't have a lot of wiggle. His, like, 3-cone's not, that ain't going to set anything off. He's not a complete wide receiver. So, like, you're talking about a guy going third, fourth round. But man, 6'2", 207, runs a 4.3. He's got a great vertical. He's got long arms. He's got experience in multiple schemes. Like, it's just hard to find issues whenever, like, you're stacking him against third and fourth, you know, round wide receivers, and all these guys have major issues. Just hasn't played. Just not fast. You know, not the build. Can't get off press. Doesn't block. Has drops. This dude, there's not a glaring, like, yeah, that's why. I don't know. I'm a big Dejon Stribling, and shout out to Zach for kind of unearthing that, which I'm biased. When Zach likes somebody, I kind of like them too, unless they're from KU. Outside of that, I think
we
agree.
Man. We got Pooney.
No, bro. No. Never forget Big 12 rivalries. Y'all beat us too many times in basketball. It's what it is. But yeah, I like Dejon Stribling a lot.
Do you guys got any players you like?
I'm gonna be honest, man. I think I'm gonna be in the vast, vast, very little majority of 49ers fans that wouldn't mind drafting Kenyon Sadiq in the first round, man. We re-signed Jake Tongis. George Kittle's gonna be out, and we don't have that Juwan Jennings kind of guy. Now, that's what everybody wanted Kyle Pitts for, was because he's tall, he's big, and he can almost fill that Juwan Jennings kind of, you know, tough role of being a run blocker and a big body out there in front of these running backs and, you know, a threat in the receiving game. And, man, you know, Sadiq coming in, what is he? Let's see, 6'3", 240 at tight end. I mean, that's a big body to have lined up against these guys and another, you know, valuable piece in the receiving game. So, you know, they're looking at receivers and they're looking at pass catchers, but I don't think anyone's really valuing that tight end spot, especially if he's there. So I think I'm part of the little piece of the fandom that would not mind taking a tight end at 27, especially if it's Sadiq.
Yeah.
If he's there, I mean,
if he's there, is a big thing.
He's a stud, man.
I will quit watching football if the Chiefs draft him to replace Kelce. I will quit. I'm done, man.
Come on now.
They're completely different players, though. Like, the way Kelce wins, Sadiq doesn't win that way. Mm-hmm. Like, the route nuance and all that, like, it's not there. And he's not, like, he's 6'3", right? Like, so Niners have never drafted a tight end that's 6'3 or lower. Yep. They've gotten close a couple times, but they haven't yet. Like, the Niners haven't drafted this prototype. But let's be honest, like, under Kyle Shanahan, like, there is not a prototype for Kenyon Sadiq. There's nobody else out there. Like, Vernon Davis was kind of, that's about it. So what do you do? If the Niners draft him, Nate, mm-hmm. like, do you use him as a tight end or do you use him in that big slot role? See, like, is he just your number three wide receiver now and you kind of move him around a little bit? Like how do you approach? And that's why I'm not against Kenyon Sadiq. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. And he is worth the 27 pick. He's going to be gone by that point. But, like, how do you implement Kenyon Sadiq in the Kyle Shanahan scheme? Because you're not taking Kittle out of it. Right. Kittle stays. Mm-hmm. He's an all-pro, Hall of Famer. What do you do with him?
So that's just the thing, man, is I could see him playing that big body slot receiver,
yeah,
at least for the time being until, I mean, we don't know how much longer George Kittle has officially. You know, an Achilles tear, especially at his age, I mean, he's going to come back stronger than ever. I firmly believe that. You know, I love 85 to the day I die, but there's got to be a successor at some point. You know, he's a great run blocker. He's a great pass catcher, and he's just overall a great culture guy in the locker room. And so that's going to be hard to replace in general. But man, you get somebody like Sadiq in there, you get him on field experience, being that big body slot receiver guy, while also simultaneously maybe in these two tight end splits while Kittle is out, being able to get him in that role of run blocking and being on the line and ready to go. I mean, somebody's got to be the successor to Kittle at some point, and I just don't see, especially if he's on the board at this point at 27, I just don't see a lot of tight ends in the next few years that can be a mold, you know, to be something more than a tight end, kind of like George Kittle is. I mean, not everyone sees him as a tight end. They see him as a focal point of this offense. And I really feel like Sadiq could step into that role in the future past, you know, 2026.
The only reason I'm like kind of against... Sorry, Dan.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I like the idea of Sadiq. I just don't know the reality of it, right? I mean, you think of George Kittle in the same aspect you think of Christian McCaffrey. Is he going to come off the field if he's available? And is he going to be there? But also, you know, you talk about the draft, and to John's point with Kyle Shanahan, you know, if he's there, we're not going best player available. They're going to go best player available for position of need and look at something, or wide receiver or running back, depending on what he sees there. But, you know, so it's just, you're curious if he would actually pull the trigger on that move to make that happen.
Right. And especially with the re-signing of Tonjes and stuff like that, again, it makes it less and less possible. It's just, you know, sometimes I'll see somebody throw out a mock draft and I see Sadiq at 27. I'm like, yeah, man, like I'm not the only one. You know, it's few far-fetched. It's a dream. But again, man, if he's there, I mean, the conversation at least has to be had before they pull the trigger on, you know, if Cooper's there, I'm taking Cooper over Sadiq just because the wide receiver room is a much more of a need. If Howell is there at 27, you know, I'd probably take that as well because we had the lowest sack rate in NFL last year. And so, you know, we do need a little more speed off the edge on the defense and stuff like that. And so I see, you know, the points being made about other positions being of need, and it's very true. But there's just a little bit of selfishness in me that's just like, if he's there though, I mean, how do you not at least talk about it? So I don't know. Again,
Sure.
I'm few and far between of people who would want him, but if he's there, the conversation's at least got to come up a little bit.
100%.
Absolutely.
And the only reason I'm against tight end in the first round is because John Lynch is going to get his guy, Sam Roush from Stanford, so it
Yep.
don't even
Yeah.
matter.
Yep.
So,
He didn't even have to go to the
I
pro
love
day
me
because
some
he knew
Sam
he was
Roush.
coming, man. Like,
He's like, you know what?
right.
I'm drafting you. We're done here, man.
I love Sam Roush. I
I
love
do
that
too,
dude.
though.
He
He's a good
is.
player.
Oh. He doesn't do anything Kenyan Sadiq does, and it's weird because they're both listed tight ends. Won't be used, lined up, do the same. Like, they're completely different.
Yeah.
But I love me some Sam Roush. I don't like the idea of them spending a second round pick on a tight end. This is a crazy deep tight end class. Like, I really wanted them to get a tight end last year. I was Harold Fannin was my favorite player in the entire draft, and like I was just like Harold Fannin, Harold Fannin, Harold, yeah, like I loved him. He was my number one, and went out and did exactly what I thought he would do. But I digress. Now you look at this tight end class, like the fourth round. There are some studs in the fourth round. Could Sam Roush fall that far? I don't think that he will. I think he'll be a third round type guy. I think second round's too early. So like where the Niners are now, you got to do some finagling. You know, trade back in the second, trade up in the fourth, whatever to get him. But there's just like a litany of guys. There's about six tight ends that are going to go in that fourth round, and I'm just like, man, the Niners better get one because there's some solid dudes there.
I just want Luke Farrell off my team, man.
Yeah. Can't believe they didn't move on from him just yet. Like,
I thought for sure they would at least by now.
I mean,
He's
contract.
not bad in special teams.
Yeah, that's like my only thing. Special teams
Yeah,
is
but
like the only thing keeping him on the roster. But as far as contract goes,
that's the problem.
yeah, like if they were to get rid of him now, I mean, doesn't that put him kind of in a tight spot?
No, not really. They actually say if they do a post one, they actually save some money.
Oh, well, then
So.
I'd pull the trigger yesterday.
I would have done day one of the free agency.
As soon as I'm
I
able
thought for
to.
sure. I feel like
Just
one of
like
those
they
players.
signed him last
Yeah.
year, day one, free agent. I see what you're saying, Zach.
Yeah.
Got to send them out the same way they came in.
Yeah, I mean, like one of the best run blocking tight ends. I got kind of sad. Like, finally, run game, finally. Nope, just kidding. Psych.
Man, you're
Whatever.
watching the tape of the, again, I'm going back to this, but you start watching the Seattle Seahawks playoff tape offensively, and you'll see Brock Purdy like snap the ball, go to his first read, which is the tight end. You know, it's supposed to be Kittle, or it was supposed to be freaking, you know, Los Gatos stud that they just signed. And then he sees Farrell there, and he's just like, you see him in the middle of the play and then go elsewhere. Like, you see him flinch, like, can't throw it stone hands, and then goes another way. Like,
Double team Juwan Jennings instead. Boom.
yeah,
And the one time he
it's
did get a
rough, man.
target, like you just said, hit him right in the hands, falls on the ground. Can't
Yeah.
block, can't catch. Like, it's a shock that he's still on the 49ers roster at this very moment. But outside of him, and again, Kittle's missing time. I mean, who they got? You know, they got Tonjes, you got Farrell,
I
you
mean,
got.
Tonjes did he did fine for, you know, Kittle's absence last year. So, But do they want to rely on him again? That's going to be the biggest question.
That's a huge
thing. You got Braden Willis, which, you know, he could do whatever. And Hayden Rucci is practice squad guy that they retained for a future 90, but we've never seen him in training camp or anything. So
it's tough. And it's tough to, like you said, rely on Tondres because you can rely on him in the pass game for sure. It's just nobody brings that brutality that Kittle brings in the run game. Like, everything changes when Kittle's out. When it comes to that run game, and you definitely saw that in the games that he did miss last year. And then, you know, you got the spark when he came back and, you know, McCaffrey started to get lanes. And so it's just, it's tough because again, it's just, it's going to be so difficult to replace him. And everyone's, you know, everyone's leaning on, he's going to be ready for week one. I don't think he is. I think they're going to give him time. Cause they don't want this to be Kittle's last year, and a re-injury is, you know, just going to forthcome his retirement, and I don't want to see it. I want him to take his time, and it's just, it's tough because you don't know what you're going to get behind him. Again, Jake Tonjes, fine in the pass game, terrible in the run game. Luke Farrell can't do anything. He needs to be taking, you know, grabbing water for everybody during the game. That's his best attribute, but they're paying, you know, premium money for him, so it's tough.
Dan, are there any players you like in the draft this year?
So the guy that stands out, I mean, I like Casey Conception. You know, you watch him, I just think the versatility he can bring to the offensive receiver would be a lot of fun in Kyle's offense. You know, and I think more than that, too, and hand up, I'll be the first guy to tell you, I haven't done a whole lot of homework on this just yet, but just the character. You know, you see what came out at the combine with him, talking about his speech impediment and those types of things. I think that's a good character fit for the locker room, right? You bring in another guy that's high character, and he's going to come in there and, again, add to that culture. We talked about that kind of throughout this conversation. I just feel like that would be somebody that could come in and really help solidify the next 5 to 10 years of this team. And you don't maybe have that same situation you had the last time you took a first-round wide receiver, where now you're looking at contracts being the most important thing and getting the contract and then still wanting out because you want to play with your friend or whatever it may be. I feel like just kind of watching him and those little short interviews and clips, I feel like that would be a very good fit for this team.
Love that, dude.
I just don't want another Deebo Samuel-like player.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I'm tired of the Kyle Shanahan force-fed ball and the design plays he does, like especially the in arounds. Please stop doing it. Stop.
The one thing I would say about, you know, Concepcion is that dude creates space. Now, he was never asked to run routes at Texas A&M. They have a middle school offense there with their quarterback. Like, it's just it's very similar to Ole Miss, and like I'm joking, but like not really. Like, it's hitches, screens, tunnel passes, you know, whatever else. You look at over half of his receiving targets were 9 yards or behind the line of scrimmage. Like, he wasn't asked to do a lot. But then, whenever the few times he is running downfield routes, nobody's close to him. Like, he creates space. Like, he's not like Deebo in that facet. He's not near as big or as thick as Deebo. He's 5'11", 196. So, like, you're taking 20 pounds off of Deebo. He's a yak guy, 100%. He can do a lot of, like, shake and whatever else. Gadget guy stuff, but he gets separation. He just never was asked to do that. So, like, that's projection. I don't like projected at the wide receiver position as much, but like, if the 49ers took KC Conception with the 27th pick, it makes perfect sense. Probably wouldn't be my favorite pick, but I get it. Like, he's going to make your team better, and that fits with the Chris Forster offensive line philosophy, where you go get a playmaker that can make plays. Like, this guy does that in spades. So he's a damn good player. Damn good player.
This Mike Evans signing just has me so amped up and hyped that I know for sure they're going to break my heart regardless. But I miss having that X receiver. I really do. Anquan Boldin was one of the best fun receivers I've watched in my lifetime. I mean, you guys got to watch, you know, Jerry Rice and those guys like John Taylor. Anquan Boldin's play. My favorite X player on this team I've ever watched, to be honest with you.
He was old, dude.
He was old, but he was so physical. He was just an elite man in every facet, I thought. Like, he would want to run you down, out physical you and everything. I loved it. He was a red zone threat. He was great, man. And you know, knowing Kyle, I had Julio Jones, who is one of the best players of all time, and how dominant he was in 2016. Like, I want that, man. I miss having that kind of fun offense. Lately, it's been kind of, I want to say kind of stagnant, because everybody's double teams McCaffrey. And there's no, outside of Kittle, there's no real threat in the receiving room. I mean, Pierce all could be there. He could be that guy, but we haven't seen it yet. Juwan Jennings, I love Juwan, but man, he was slow sometimes, especially off of those, you know, trying to beat this man coverage and everything. So give me Denzel Boston or Stripling, and I will be happy. And you won't see me complain for a while. For a while.
That's what
I
makes
love it,
this.
man.
Go ahead, John. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I remember his back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons for us, and it was just like, how long could this guy keep going?
Yeah.
I mean, what Anquan Boldin was doing, like, it made no sense. He's just a beast, man. He's a beast from the moment he stepped into the NFL to, you know, the last 3 years he had with us. Dude was just a stud.
A
So
monster,
much fun,
dude.
even back going to his Florida State days when he was versatile, you know, playing receiver, playing quarterback. I mean, he did a little bit of everything there. And
Oh.
and I think he was Mr. Florida Football down in Pahokee, you know, and when he was graduating, coming out. So he's
That's
been
a
a
real
lot of fun for a
place.
long
It's
time.
called that? They call it that?
Pahokee,
They
yeah,
call
that's
it
a real
Pahokee?
place. Yeah,
That's like
it's
a
crazy,
Oklahoma.
right?
I love it, man.
Oh yeah,
Florida
down in
State has entered
Pahokee.
the chat, man. My
Yes,
man
sir.
Dan.
Let's go. Let's go.
Sounds like the Okie Pokie dance.
And see, and talking about that
Oh
stuff
yeah.
is just, that's what makes this BA situation so much more sour, man, is I felt like we were on trajectory to have finally our true X receiver, you know, a guy that's, you know, quick and had good feet and great hands and contested catches, and you could rely on him at any point in the field. And I love BA, man. Like, he was, you know, coming out of college, he was my draft crush. We drafted him. I got everything, Brandon Ayuk. I had his rookie cards. I had the jerseys. I was getting hats from lids, and you could stitch, you know, the players' autographs into them, and everything was BA 11. I love BA, and that's what just makes it so sour. Is, you know, it felt like we finally had that, you know, Anquan Boldin-esque someone that's willing to get down and dirty with you, and you know, still be able to, you know, route you up if he was asked to, and. You know, now he's just, you know, pushing his way out and wants to go play with Jaden Daniels. And, you know, you can't help an injury. And I don't blame him for that at all. But, you know, I do, you know, it's just sour how it all went down. And, you know, it sucks now that we're on the prowl once again for a true X receiver that we haven't had, you know, since Anquan Boldin. And, you know, again, thought we had it with BA and still on the hunt.
All I'm hearing is it was your fault.
It was my fault, man. I put too much love and trust
<I'm>...
into this man, and he's just like, I'm
Way to
good.
go,
I
Nate.
know, I
Way to
know.
go.
That's on me. That's on me. I did sell his rookie cards for like pretty decent amount after he got hurt, though. So
Oh.
hey.
Oh, man.
Dude,
Well, there you
you
go.
saw it.
Yeah, someone's like, hey, like, I still see him being great. And I was like, I'm good.
Danny, have any other questions?
I do. So, John, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be able to come to a lot of your Rush Road Trip parties, Tampa, Jacksonville,
I
Atlanta,
appreciate that,
Buffalo.
Dad. It's
It's
always
been a
good
great
to
time.
hang out, man.
Yeah, for sure. And you guys have always been just awesome and super kind to my wife and my daughter when we come. And so I just have to ask, you got the Australia trip coming up. It was confirmed today, September 10th. What does that look like for a 10:30 a.m. kickoff? I mean, is it Vegemite for
Oh.
breakfast, or where are we going to be doing it?
So yeah, we're throwing a morning tailgate. You know, we're gonna be down in Melbourne. I've been said it's Melbourne is the way the Aussies pronounce it.
Okay.
I'm learning the lingo. Yeah, so we're throwing a party noon, Aussie time, the day before,
Okay.
and then I doubt it's gonna be early bedtime if I know myself. And then we're gonna have a tailgate in the morning, but we're now, just since they announced the time, we're now working on a post game party
Okay.
that probably more people will come to. But yeah, we've done morning tailgates in the past. They're not my favorite. They're my least
Sure.
favorite, but they're not bad, man. Like, you wake up, Have a couple more in Brewskis. Why not? Foster's. That's what we're going to be drinking. And yeah, you have a good time, man. You got to do what you got to do. I've never been to Australia, so like I'm going out. I'm going out.
That's awesome.
Did you go to London when the Niners were in London before?
No, we did Mexico City, which was unbelievable. And so I vowed, NFL's messing with me. Like I vowed then, like my goal, here's my two Niners goals. Never miss in person a 49ers Cowboys game for as long as I can, and never miss a 49ers international game. The atmosphere in Mexico City, I've been to Super Bowls before. It's unparalleled. It was absolutely incredible. So now we got two freaking Niners international games in one season and a Cowboys game. So, you know, it's frequent flyer miles. Here we come. so that's what it is. But, yeah, I did not do the London game, though, but we did Mexico City.
That's awesome, man.
Will you go to London if you could?
Yeah, I'll be in London. Yeah, Paul Hope will kill me if I don't go. And that is a wonderful human being. But, yeah, that dude he'll end me, and I don't want that. He's too nice.
That's awesome. But, no, man, you guys do a great job. And like I said, we truly appreciate it just from my family and what we've experienced at your parties and that. And it's certainly recommend it to anybody that has the opportunity. If you're close by, get there, man. It's going to be a great time. You certainly won't forget it.
All right, Dan, we'll put you on the spot. Are you coming to the Atlanta game this year, or are you going to a KC game?
So we've been to Atlanta, and what we try to do is pick a different stadium so we can kind of see something new. And we were in Atlanta last time. Right now it's kind of up in the air. We're having conversations about Dallas. We're having conversations about Kansas City. And it's just going to kind of depend on the timing, how the schedule works out, and work and all that fun stuff. You know, wife's a teacher, so getting her out of school for a weekend, is a little tougher than most. But we'll see what it looks like, man. We're definitely going to get to one of them.
She's a superhero, man. Oh,
you're not
kidding,
brother. Not kidding, man.
Hopefully it's KC, because I will do my very best to be there.
Come on, come on.
my wife.
Was it Minnesota? Were hanging out in Zach?
It was last year in Minnesota.
Yes. That was a morning tailgate.
2 years ago.
That was a morning tailgate, I think.
It was. Yep. It was
we had a good time.
It was 10 o'clock, I think.
It was early.
Yeah, because they had a noon game.
It was early.
Dude, I was so excited. I was like, all right, you want to face Sam Darnold? Okay. This is
you got Sam Darnold to Jay Jettas, 98 yards.
Guess who that was on? We've talked about him several times today. Anybody want to guess?
That's what I'm saying. Tough.
Yeah, at least we learned our lesson.
I was so upset because I was like, all right, I'm going to see my first Niners win my entire life. Nope. Psych again. So, God, man. I'm like, if they lose against the Chiefs, I don't know, dude.
Well, see, this is going to be
the... not going to be healthy.
Yeah, it's going to be a telltale. In Kansas City. So this will be my first time seeing the Niners in the regular season. So I've been up to Kansas City two times now to see them in the preseason. I went, Kaepernick was still playing in his last year, went and saw them play. We won that game. And then I went, I think it was a few years after that, we got Kansas City again in the preseason, went to that one and we won that one. So every time I've been in Arrowhead with the 49ers in the building, they've gotten a win. This is going to be the first time I see him in the regular season when it matters. So, again, I mean, if we don't take that game, you can put it on me, I guess. I'll never go again, I promise.
I'm currently 0-3 right now. So,
are you?
Mahomes is 5-0 against the Niners.
Yep. Yeah.
5-0 so far.
Last time I was at Chiefs game was the Jimmy Garoppolo injury.
Oh, dude, what are you juking? 15 yards downfield, Jimmy G. What are you doing?
He was never the same.
On my side of the field, too.
He was never the same.
Yeah, dude.
Which also, in that game, though, I really do believe C.J. Beathard threw that touchdown in the back of the end zone. Feet were down.
He did.
Ball was caught. I was watching that at work when he got hurt, and I was like, oh, here we go. You know, another quarterback down. We just paid him all this money. You know, he looked great and, 5-0 to end the season. And then Beathard comes in and throws an absolute missile to the back of the end zone. Both feet in, caught, incomplete. Made me so mad. I stopped watching.
I saw him in person. Again, it was on my side of the field.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely his favorite.
Oh, absolutely. That's a caught ball.
Well, even fans in front of me, that were Chiefs fans, I'm pretty sure he caught that. Yeah. But whatever.
Crazy. whatever. That was whatever, the beginning of the Chiefs era. Started going in their favor. Whatever.
Thanks, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Any final thoughts, guys? We'll wrap this up.
I just want to say, man, I really appreciate you guys and what y'all do. You know, I had the opportunity to hang out with a couple of you guys, and just like, it's a big deal what y'all do. And, you know, whenever I first started doing what I was doing at the 49ers Rush, yeah, you guys were unbelievable. And so I my debt to you guys, I don't know if I'll ever be paid, but I like, this is my career now, and I've been very, very fortunate, very, very lucky. And a lot of that had to do with you guys. So really appreciate y'all.
Oh, man, that just, my final thoughts, again, this is just my full circle, you know, hearing this man talk every day, you know, listening to him and Ant, listening to him and Wayne Breezy, you know, just talk about my favorite football team. And now I'm right here, you know, metaphorically face to face, you know, with, you know, probably one of my favorite, you know, 49ers legends right here, man. So I just, we can't thank you enough, John, for everything that you do. You know, you get me through work. Most times I'll go back and listen to old shows if I got nothing to listen to. You know, just to keep up on my knowledge, just to keep up on my lingo, and just to hear you talk about the stories, man. And so it's, this is an absolute honor. And hopefully we can do some more stuff in the future, man. This has just been, this has been surreal. I'm about to get off and tell my wife all about it. And, you know, it's going to be a good dinner time talk here in a minute.
That's it, man. And, you know, just to echo his sentiments there, man, you know, every day driving around and being at work, it's me and a radio. So most of the time, it's John Chapman that's talking to me, and it's a one-way conversation. But you know, we just appreciate you being here, and you know, just everything that you do for this team and this community. And like I said, the parties are unbelievable, and what you do for the kids, man. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times my daughter has brought up these parties well into the off season and the things that you guys have done. So you and your team,
that's what it's about, man.
Yeah, man. It's you, Rick, Nick, Will, all those guys, man. Just awesome guys. So we appreciate you, man.
And yeah, again, thank you, John, for thank you again for being on here, being our first special guest. And especially with this group, it really means a lot to us. And we really do appreciate it. And for those who are tuning in, please check out John Chapman's channel on 49ers Rush on YouTube. I believe you have Spotify as well, too, right?
Yeah, we're on there as well. It's we're trying to bug everybody from every direction. Everywhere. That's the goal.
I listen
right
to them on Apple, so you can find them on Apple too.
Ah, there we go. They exist among us.
Love it,
John. Thank you, and thank you for everybody else that tuned in to this episode. And hopefully, we see you guys later.
And as always, go Niners, baby.
Sir, let's go.